Just had a quick question for Adrian. No disrespect, Adrian, but what did that have to do with the St. Patrick's Day?
This had to do with the fact that we have the controller of the city of New York here, who is a mayoral candidate.
And
the,
what's it got to do with summertime?
The word is...
Wow.
Because, can I tell you? You know, I have to tell you...
Let me write that this down.
Yeah, only write it down. Because summertime. If John Liu walks into this, into our studio one more time summertime? And hears Danny Boy, he's going to spit up.
Oh, he's not going to show up. No.
So to that end, pardon? Yeah.
Summertime.
Talking about Danny Boy.
And living is easy.
Okay.
Isn't that the first?
Our engineer, I mentioned it earlier in the day, but our engineer, and he who has control, has a finger on the button here, is Mark Boniak.
Yep.
And Mark
Who's
has
a good
been
friend
with,
of mine.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, well, he's been a good friend of mine for 40 some odd years, and he's the guy who can shut you up permanently, and I, one wink, and he would know exactly what to do. But
let's not take the time of the controller here. John, nice to see you.
Great to be part of the radio party again.
As councilman, you were a religious St. Patrick's Day visitor. Yeah. And then I think in all of your years as controller, you have also been. Yeah. And you're a tireless worker, that's for sure.
I believe it's over a decade now that I have joined you on the radio party.
Every time?
Yes, and it's always a lot of fun. There's a lot of energy and excitement out there on the streets of New York City.
Yeah.
Looks like a little fluffy stuff is starting to come down,
yeah,
but that's not going to dampen anybody's spirits.
Have you marched yet?
I have taken part in the breakfasts.
Okay.
In the breakfast.
In the pre-parade festivities.
You have to excuse John. He doesn't read the papers. He doesn't listen to the radio. He doesn't watch television. The issue, mister, for your information, is that mayoral candidates, particularly, I don't think any of the Democrats are
on the Democratic side.
On the Democratic side, none of them are marching in the parade because obviously it has connotations and it is, as we know, from.
I'm sorry, I'd forgotten that.
No, that's perfectly okay. I don't think it's just mayoral candidates. I think it would be rare to see any Democratic elected official.
Right.
Actually march
the issue, of course, is that it is not open to gays and to that end, you know, it's you know.
Now, I hope that one day it'll change.
Excuse me now. I just want to ask you about this.
Sure.
You're mayor. Now.
Not quite yet.
I am saying, if now you wake up and you're mayor. Will you do as you are doing right now and advocating, and can you tell us that unless that changes, as mayor of New York, you would have your heels dug in, as you in fact have?
I mean, yes, the answer is yes. I wouldn't change anything I do, or in this case I don't do. But I would also work towards some kind of resolution. I think I think everybody agrees that at some point the policy of the parade organizers will change.
Right.
And I'll do everything I can to foster that change. I think we are living in a very different time now, and everybody should be able to express themselves as they do.
Right. And I think you put your finger on it. Everything can be negotiated. There is a middle ground. There is something, and you would know an awful lot about that.
Well,
you know, as John said, with city council and as controller of the city.
Well,
sure.
Let me say that I've said to the controller more than a few times. I don't think there's anyone in recent history here, and certainly over the last number of years, that has probably taken more wax than you have. No, I mean that sincerely. And I'll tell you, a much lesser person would have, frankly, I think, picked up their marbles and said, you know, good luck, and I don't need to get whacked around as much as you have. Personally, I believe the worst of the whacking, frankly, is over and behind you. But nonetheless, I have admired very much your strength. and willingness to stand up to it. And I'm sure you've woken up many mornings knowing that you're going to get whacked around pretty good.
Right.
And you are. And you kept putting one foot in front of the other. And I'll tell you something, I admire that a great deal. I really
Thank
do,
you,
John.
You,
I really
you,
do.
It's wearing thin. And I think that one of the things that we do admire, we admire a lot of what you have, and that some of it for selfish reasons, because you have paid an enormous amount of attention to the Irish community. But one of the high points is that only a couple of weeks ago you had said, and you came to the fore and says, "Put up or shut up." If you have something, if you have something that is that rather than all the insinuations and all the
insinuations and innuendos,
and it's first of all, that is risky politically at best.
I don't see any risk in it.
Well, yeah. But
Adrian, I want to thank you. I want to thank John for the encouragement over many years now,
right,
and what you've brought up today, just so that there might be some listeners who may not be aware of what you're talking about. Over the past year, I've been trashed pretty thoroughly through the newspapers, mainly because of this so-called investigation into my campaign fundraising.
Right.
Apparently, it's been going on for years now, almost 4 years at this point. They have done everything under the sun to look for something that I or my campaign did wrong. I don't think there's anything. I think that they can continue this witch hunt for as long as they want.
Right.
Problem is, there's no witch. I'm very proud of the way we've conducted our campaign and fundraising. And we've raised our ethical bars higher than anybody else in this city.
But I want to revisit that just for a moment. When you say it's risky, for those who have had no problem whatsoever in getting up every day trying to figure out a new angle, particularly with John Liu and the issue at hand. When you do that for what is sometimes a very hostile press, there's nothing stopping them from, pulling something else, pulling another rabbit out of the hat to do it. But I think you called the bluff.
Well, look, I don't know what it's all about. I don't know why they started it, but I never had any illusion or delusion that politics in New York City was going to be an easy game.
Yeah.
People said it's going to be rough and tumble. So if I'm not ready for it, I should not be in it. You can't take the heat. Get out of the kitchen. The fact of the matter is, I'm very proud of the work I've done as comptroller. It's been more than 3 years now. We've audited city agencies and companies vigorously. We've recovered billions of dollars for our taxpayers. We've looked at contracts very vigorously before we let them through and stopped many of the money pit projects from continuing in the first place. So I'm proud of the billions of dollars I've saved for our New York City taxpayers. We've done well on the pension investments, including taking my excursion to Ireland, both the north and the south, to look for opportunities. In fact, you and I were on the phone when I was in Belfast.
Absolutely.
And so it's been a great privilege to serve, and there's a big election this year. Now, I don't think it's any secret what I'm running for this year, but I'm going to make my formal announcement tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. on the steps of City Hall.
Right.
And I look forward to serving this great city that gave me and my family as immigrants to this city tremendous opportunities to pursue the American dream and in fact achieve it. And if it means taking a lot of beatings and body blows along the way towards fulfilling that promise for public service, I gladly take it.
Terrific. And I would,
Glad you've shown your ability to do. If you're a boxing parlance, you take a lot of body blows and keep coming forward.
John, we have an excellent opportunity here, and I'm surprised you didn't jump at us, because we could, I was expecting that you would jump in there and say that at 1:15 on the day before John Liu announced that he was running for mayor, we had the story first, and I'm glad that you have a little bit of tact, because that would have been very tactful.
Congratulations. Good luck on your announcement. I hope that it's viewed in a positive light, as often as I know that people have said the best press you're going to get is probably the day after you've made the announcement. Let's hope it is positive as well as working its way through some of the things.
Yeah, I think the announcement will be, excuse me, the announcement will be very positive. Yeah. I think there will be lots of proposals I'll be putting out there over the next few months as the election approaches. Proposals to start leveling the playing field in this city, narrowing this widening wealth gap that's gone out of control, helping grow the middle class and uplift the working poor. I've got tax proposals. I've got ways that we can change our fiscal policy so that we're not giving hundreds of millions of dollars to big corporations and squeezing small businesses out of their lifeblood. We've got to give the resources of this city back to the people.
And you know a little something about immigration and immigrants, and you have been vocal right through in terms of saying we have to fix.
Yes, and that's because I'm an immigrant, and in full disclosure, I did not immigrate from Ireland. Yeah. But I immigrated from.
Wow, that.
I want to be completely upfront.
John Olu, what? That's surprising.
But I immigrated from another green island, and that was Taiwan.
Great. Yeah. John, let me say this: you're seeking to achieve something that's a quite remarkable honor. And can I introduce Mary Deedy? She works at the council in Ireland, and she is known as the Irish Lark. Yeah. But. Excuse me, Adriana, please. I'm doing this introduction. And she is going to do a number that's an inspiration. So if you have 3 minutes, can we hear Mary, and then we'll get back to talking. Can we hear Mary do Over the Rainbow? It's a very inspirational somewhere over the rainbow.
And in the meantime, Mary, do you want to acknowledge that Barry Andrews, former Minister of Ireland, and his father before him, who was indeed one of Ireland's amazing political figures, that he is now as CEO of GOAL, an organization running parallel to Concerned, which we have done, that he is sitting here, and that he is, every time that he's supposed to get on here, we have somebody else who comes in, and just when we're about to put him on, John Liu comes, and I would have said, excuse me, John, we have to put Barry Andrews on, but of course you go right in there and say, sit down, John, you're on right now. Now you're going to talk about...
Sure. But I mean, I'm just saying, 3 minutes of inspiration over the rainbow, I thought, I don't know, can you do it?
Yeah,
go ahead. Please, Mary, hang on, Adrian.
I was born, said my father, said he. I've an elegant legacy waiting for ye. It's a rhyme for your lips, a song for your heart, to sing it whenever the world falls apart. Look, look, look to the rainbow. Follow it over the hill and stream. Look, look, look to the rainbow. Follow the fellow who follows the dream. 'Twas a sumptuous gift to bequeath to a child, or the lure of that song kept her feet running wild. For you never grow old, and you never stand still. With whippoorwill singing beyond the next hill. Look, look, look to the rainbow. Follow it over the hill and stream. Look, look, look to the rainbow. Follow the fellow who follows the dream. So I bundle my heart and I roam the world free. To the east with the lark, to the west with the sea. I searched all the earth and scanned all the skies to find it at last in my own true love's eyes. Look, look, look to the rainbow. Follow it over the hill and
Just for our listeners that may have come in after the song began, Mary Deedy and John Deary over the rainbow. No.
You know,
if that doesn't inspire you, controller, I don't know what does.
And he's going to enter the Guinness Book of Records, because even with his microphone shut down and every microphone on the place shut down, he was still able to you know, barge.
Listen, John wasn't that bad. You know, I've heard worse.
If you have, don't send any of them in here. I said, don't send any of them in here if you've heard worse than that. I have to, again, John, good luck.
Thank you, Adrian. It's going to be an exciting year, and I think our prospects for the city of New York are looking bright.
Terrific. All right, good luck.
Happy St. Pat's.
Barry Andrews, first of all, thank you for your patience, and also we only because many of listeners to our program would have known the Andersons through, the Andrews through your father and through his legacy in being a very prominent mover, shaker.
That's right, Adrian. In fact, it was his birthday yesterday. He was 78, and my sister Sinead, who's here, reminded me to give.
Hi, Sinead.
Reminded me to give him a call, and he was Minister of Foreign Affairs during the Good Friday Agreement, and his father was in the IRA during the War of Independence, and I was privileged enough to spend almost 10 years in the Dáil. So, but since January, I've started out as Chief Executive of GOAL, and it's a huge Irish aid agency. We work in lots of conflict areas that are badly affected by disaster.
Yeah, you know, to say if there must be something very fulfilling and something that has, is ingrained in the Irish, primarily because we know a little something about hunger and starvation and lack of opportunity and forever being in the doghouse of society. Can you, through GOAL, can you or do you are in a position to trace some of this back to our own, even pre-famine?
Well, I think so, Adrian. It definitely explains a lot of the Irish empathy with their fellow man, no matter where they are on the planet. And our missionaries really blazed a trail for us and has given Ireland an authority and an authenticity when they go to places like this, to sub-Saharan Africa, to anywhere that's in the developing world, because of our history.
Yeah.
Because of our missions, because of our experience of colonialism, because of our the famine, as you say. So it really, Irish people understand that. But then when we get to these places, they respect Irish people. We never went to the developing world for commerce. We went there for education and healthcare. So that's something we definitely can build on, Adrian.
Is there a sense, though, that even with your very best efforts, even with the the risk that is involved, again, with a lot of volunteers, and you don't send any scouts in to see how great an idea this one is. You respond to emergencies. You also, though, do something else, in that you just don't go in to hand out food and emergencies and then move on. Tell us about that aspect of it.
Well, the GOAL has started in Syria, Adrian, for the last couple of months, and I'm going to Syria this day week, and that's an emergency response, as you just described it, because there are people really badly affected by the conflict, and we're working with the U.S. government to provide emergency relief. But in the long term, you take a place like Haiti. GOAL is trying to help Haiti to prepare itself so that it's resilient enough to deal with disaster in the future. So charity is temporary, but what we want to do, what goal does, what concern does, is to make change permanent. And we're very much in that game. And I think that's really what all of the developing world is making sure to ask itself. Are we really making a permanent change?
Right.
And the answer to that question is actually yes.
Is there, with a downturn, not only in the Irish economy, but in the world economy, is there, it doesn't take much for any of us to say, you know, when this is over, when things get better, we're definitely would be up there, you know. Is there somewhat of a strain with respect to getting, the many aspects of what you need? It's not all about money. No. It is about commitment. It is about volunteers. It is about expertise.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Adrian. Right now, there is an economic distress in Ireland, but there are 800,000 people in Ireland who volunteer every year, who give their time, who give contributions. And you know what? Back in the 1980s, when Ireland was very much on its knees with high inflation, we still gave huge amounts of money per head of population to the developing world. So it's in our ethos, as you just mentioned earlier. It's in our history. It's in our sense of the globe. But here in America, I think people see that foreign policy is about defense, it's about diplomacy, but it's also about development. And each leg of that particular stool is just as relevant as the other. That's why America.
And I think that it's also another tribute to the Irish, that the organizations, the aid organizations, are not at each other's throats.
Oh, no, absolutely.
In fact, if anything, you complement, another. And there are many areas where, if depending on the situation, it might well be that you become a referral, say, for concern, and Trocara, which is another organization, one organized through the churches in Ireland. There is a sense of yeah, and yeah. Also in addition to that, is that if there were 10 more organizations, there'd be a role for them as well.
Yeah. Well, GOAL is one of the three biggest ones in Ireland, with Trocara and Concern that you've mentioned. And I am absolutely of the view that they need to work together, because it's just people demand that and expect it. And if you're going to have efficiency, if you want to make sure that you keep the costs down to a very minimum, Adrian, then you absolutely have to be in consortia. You have to work together. There has to be those kind of efficiencies. And we've always done that with GOAL. And we'll definitely do that in the future. So, I want to thank you very much for having me on your radio party today, Adrian. And I wish you the best of luck.
And also,
my second
we
time
should,
on, I was here 3 years ago, in a different, wearing a different hat. So
you do, a tremendous job. And indeed, we do know that when you do something here, it is very, very successful.
Yeah.
It is very prominent. But you have a tremendous number of followers. In many of them, some would say, "Our goal, they're good. They catch all the young crowd."
Yeah.
Truth of the matter is that as any of your fundraising events, it seems to me like you've done the crossover.
Well, I started in January, but I've heard an awful lot about the Gold Ball in November, and it's supposed to be the best party in town at that time of the year. So, thanks again for having me on the show.
You're very welcome, Goal. .org.
Gold.ie is our website, and I'm going to Syria this day week, and we're going to be launching an appeal around that. So every dollar we get, 95 cents goes directly to the beneficiaries. So we keep
that's
really tight ship,
and
I think that's important. People expect that of us, and we're going to dedicate to that in the future.
Gold.ie,
Adrian. Yeah. Thank you
very
much.
Okay, again, Barry Andrews, fronting.
Take a musical break. How does that sound?
That sounds terrific.
All right, can we do it? And this is JJ Sheridan at the keyboard.
Can I just say, hold on a second now, because I just want to say that I want to really thank and acknowledge the fact that John Deary actually returned to the studio.
Yep.
You had a good break?
Thanks very much. JJ Sheridan at the keyboard. How does that sound?
Were you on lunch?
JJ.
Okay, JJ.
guys, J.J. Sheridan, very nice. And Adrian, we're now turning into more of the entertainment portion of the show, which I'll pretty much handle. Pauline Turley, the director of the Irish Arts Center.
This is going to go downhill if you're handling it. Go ahead.
So good to see you, Pauline. Looking beautiful, as always.
Thank you very much.
And Caroline Dugan from Celtic Dreams. Caroline,
hi, how are you?
So nice to see
you
again.
Here.
And
yeah.
On? The women are all over you, climbing all over you, and pictures
of
being
stabbed. You know why?
Jesus.
Yeah.
You died and went to heaven, for God's sake.
Why do you think I'm on radio?
I mean, you can
get away with Marjorie on radio.
You know, there was a great line, incidentally. We had an interview yesterday with the Grand Marshal, who's out on the street in the middle of the snow, but Al Smith. And Al said he had a great line. He's very good. If you know Al, he's great on the quips. And he dedicated this one to his wife, who apparently told him he has a face for radio. And so I wouldn't say. Anyway, may I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Pauline, how are you doing, by the way?
You're going to do it anyway. Go ahead.
Everything going great. Very, very busy week. Very busy month, as always.
Yes.
Over at the Irish Arts Centre, we're on the streets. We were all five boroughs yesterday giving away, I think it was close to 8,000 books, free Irish books.
Nice.
Working with the city council.
In all the different boroughs.
Nice. In all the boroughs.
Nice.
Even Staten Island.
Yeah.
And we actually had Colin McCann out of his bed at 7 o'clock yesterday morning.
Oh my
Colin
God.
Was up in Washington Heights giving away Spanish translations of his great book, As the Great World Spins.
Yes.
And then tonight we have Celtic Appalachia. Mick Maloney is doing a concert up at Symphony Space.
Symphony Space, yeah.
800 seater. I think it's pretty much sold out, but it's looking at Irish music and its influence on bluegrass, old-time country music, and we have a whole team coming in from Breton. Tommy Sands is coming in from the north of Ireland. And
terrific.
And then tomorrow we have our open day, which is a free day of Irish culture, 12 to 5 over on 51st Street. So it's been a busy
John,
couple of
weeks. I'm going to try to do this as tactfully as I can. Ask her about the new Irish Arts Centre and how that's going.
Thank you. Pauline, how is the new Irish Arts Centre going?
Thank you, Adrian. It's going great. We hope to be in the ground this time next year. I mean, I was just saying to someone this morning at the Governor's Breakfast, you know, you walk down Park Avenue, you've got Asia Society, you've got Scandinavian Centre, you've got Alliance Française. If you're Jewish here in this great city, you've got four major museums you can take your kids to on the weekend. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't really have an Irish cultural centre here in the city that's fully equipped to tell our story. I mean, the Arts Centre is doing a great job. It's very humble, three-story walk-up. And we have great institutions like the Irish Repertory Theatre doing a phenomenal job down in 22nd Street Theatre. We have the Irish American Historical Society up on Fifth Avenue, obviously, today. But in terms of a living, breathing cultural centre for performing arts, and, you know, we have four Nobel Prizes for literature in the last century alone, between the theatre and the music and, you know, all of that great stuff. And we don't have somewhere that's Irish enough that we can tell our story. So we're changing that, breaking ground next year.
Okay, but
you've
got to tell him, because if I told John how big this project is, he would assume that I'm exaggerating. Listen to this, seriously.
Yeah, well,
you'll
how
continue.
Big is the
museum?
Yeah,
no, that's all right, yeah.
Well, it's
Mark, our engineer, that's John Deere eating a sandwich. There's nothing wrong with his microphone, okay?
It's actually going to be 40,000 square feet. So with a performing arts center, a music venue, galleries, education spaces, dance studio. And more importantly, as well as the physical infrastructure, having the technical infrastructure that you can record and distribute. So you could be in Ohio tuning in to watching something on your iPad or television live from Irish Arts Centre or, you know, TED Talks. So it's about, you know, providing a platform here in New York for Irish artists and a great place for people to come. So it's about a $50 million capital project. We've raised 34 million committed. So it's really, and thanks very much, and great part to this administration, great support from Speaker Quinn. It's actually in the Speaker's district. And even before she became Speaker, she was a huge supporter of making sure that as the whole neighbourhood on the west side is developing, there's a whole cultural corridor coming up there from the Signature Theatre on 42nd Street right up to Lincoln Centre. And the Speaker has been, you know, wanted right from day one, was like, we need to protect the Irish Arts Centre. This neighbourhood is changing. And, you know, she was one, she sat me down with Congressman Crowley back in 2004, and that's really how we got a site from the city in 2006 a memorandum of understanding. So this administration has been extraordinarily supportive of cultural projects and building that infrastructure.
Okay, and one of the things that I do want to point out here is that whereas this is going to be the most magnificent forward not only structure, but this is going to be huge, and it will be a cultural center second to none, and indeed it will be the largest in the United States. This is not in any way, shape or form going to interfere with the American Irish Historical Society. The Irish Repertory Theatre will be there, and the sense of cooperation there. And I want to get that out so that people don't think.
Our great friends of ours have all and always have been. And you know, this all boats rise with the tide. And for us, you know, being able to connect the diaspora and be able to work with people, and not just, I mean, a great portion of our audience is the same with Charlotte and Kieran, are not Irish. It's about how can we use people who are passionate about Irish culture, how do we, Irish culture to New Yorkers of all backgrounds. And that's the way we keep Irish culture relevant and investing in culture so we can make sure in 30 years' time that there's still an Irish parade going up Fifth Avenue. And if you don't make the kind of investments in culture that, you know, you see, as I say, the Jewish community do on a regular basis, there's a reason why Jewish culture is so persuasive in the city and many other cultures, because they invest in it. I'm making those kind of investments because the way I look at it, I never see it as competition. If someone goes to see a great Irish play at the Irish Repertory Theatre, it only makes them twice as inclined to pick up the paper and go see another one. So, and we're great friends with the other. I mean, we partner a lot with Glucksman Ireland House too as well, and George Heslin and the Origin Theatre Company.
Origin, who was on early,
It's about working smarter together so that we can ensure that the Irish legacy that was built here in New York is sustained for the long haul.
Terrific. Okay, well, thank you. And again, website?
Website, www.irishartcentre.org. And we're on 51st Street between 10th and 11th.
Terrific. All right. Again, lots of nice luxury, and obviously to Aidan Connolly as well. Okay, no, wait a minute now. No, if John gets... John has... He's chapping at the bit here because John is absolutely... If he weren't eating a sandwich, what I would have assumed is you're kind of leering, because here you have a Bronx... girl.
Yes.
Well, somebody who has made a tremendous indentation into culture and into dance in the Bronx.
Yes.
So you can chat up Carolyn Duggan there.
Yes.
And be ready to go like 1, 2, 3. Because I want to talk to Tim Miles just for 1 second.
Please, absolutely.
Tim, the McAllister Family Justice Committee, the annual struggle that we have, that the McAllister family have had to put up with, the almost holding our breath, and the reality that, in fact, that Malachy McAllister himself, after all of these years, could be deported as a whim, and there wouldn't be a single thing that we could do about it. You and the Justice Committee, Ancient Order of Hibernians, Nassau County in particular, from where you are, have never let go of that. But tell us about the not only Malachy McAllister, but the plight of many others who find themselves in the same position here.
Thank you, Adrian. And just, I really want to say thank you to yourself, because without your radio program, people like Malachy McAllister and others might have been deported. But we talk about political action. And several weeks ago, Malachy was a guest on your show. And 3 days after being a guest, he got a call from his representative that he was going to be okay for another year. And this is what is so important to your listeners. And I got to thank your listeners for taking the opportunity to call their representatives and let them know that the McAllister family wants to stay here. The Irish community wants the McAllister family to stay here. And with the results of being on your show, once again, Maliki and his family are still here for another year. But we're seeking a permanent solution, hopefully with some immigration reform in Congress. There are several senators who are on a committee, Schumer and Menendez, who have been great friends.
Absolutely. John, I want you to join me here for a second. When you see, you know, we just, you had mentioned, and rightly so, about, you know, the witch hunt, the woeful battering that a candidate and not a controller like John Liu is there. The quiet little resolution to the Menendez and all it that, that has, you know, stirred up, as if he were, you know, a little whoremaster or something down. And then in three small little lines, it says, oh, by the way, the prostitute in question said that she was coerced into that, and it's withdrawn. Wickedly unfair, but not unusual in politics.
Well, I think it's fair to say that accusations scream, and when it is shown that they are inaccurate, they're little whispers, you know, and that's the reality of it. And I suspect that Senator Menendez is going to probably, with a substantial piece of population, is going to be felt that he did something wrong and going to be accused of it, and it's going to stay with him for a bit.
And we would also like to mention that, Rod, to remove the mystery of it. We went on the radio program. Maliki was on the radio program. The response that came to that is came from and through Marty Brennan, who is the Chuck Schumer's right hand. And Chuck Schumer could not be more helpful, not just in this situation, but in all of the similar situation with immigration reform, with everything. And hopefully we'll turn the corner. It would be ironic if we were to address immigration reform without zeroing in on something as outrageous as we are seeing with those who were involved in the struggle for Northern Ireland. And when everybody talks about a peace process, when everybody talks about how much progress that we have made, here are people who have served. They've given their all. They've come here. They've become model citizens of the United States, and they're hunted down like the worst in the world.
Yeah. Well, Adrian, the McAllister Family Justice Committee would really, you know, I thank you, but we want to thank Senator Menendez, Senator Schumer. They've been there. You know, we're not going to forget them when they're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, we've stood behind Menendez. Schumer has always been a friend of ours. And, you know, come election time, the McAllister family really remembers, you know, who supports them.
Again, to you and to those who tackle this and have been on this for year after year after year, to Miles, you're very welcome in the studio.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you, John.
Good to see you, as always.
When things are very bad, and as they are many times, we can rely on Tim Miles, who is indeed a very much part of our own show here. I'd like the day to come when you call up with some good news. That hasn't happened so far, but you are, and you're all around you, are very much on top of things as they develop. Good luck again.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Excuse me, Adrian, I'll take it from here. Thanks. We're going to have a little bit of a Bronx chat here. Caroline Dugan, Celtic Dreams. You know, I was just thinking that I believe your group performed when President Clinton was with Congressman Crowley, as I recall.
It's a strange story.
It's a couple of years, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, first of all, happy St. Patrick's Day to both of you.
Thank you very
much.
Pleasure
to be here. But back in February 17, the dream unfolded. A lot of you know the story of these 35 children who are African-American that I teach and Latino background in the Bronx. None of them Irish. Basically, the dream was I brought them to Ireland, full circle for me to bring the children I teach in the Bronx to Ireland. Then back in 2009, we went over to Ireland again, performed for the Northern Ireland ministers there. So it was kind of a full circle for us, you know, to bring the kids back from the Bronx to New York and to Ireland. And then the dream was to bring them to the White House. So it just turned out that the dates are very interesting. February 17, we performed for Congressman Crowley and President Clinton at a Black History Month event. And then on March 17, 2010, we performed for President Obama in the White House. Mm. So it just, it's interesting, those two dates, those two presidents, yeah.
And again, I would like to say, you have somehow developed such a following and such a level of commitment from a lot of your students,
yeah,
that actually as they go forward, they still want to be part of
it. They do, and you know what it is? It shows the universality of Irish culture. This program shows the diversity at its finest in the public school system, but also shows how culture can transfer to other cultures. I mean, these kids, I found, actually, I was brought up with Irish music all the time, Irish dancing, gave it up when I was 14, and kind of, you know, I was a music teacher, went to Trinity College, but not turned my back on Irish culture in any way, but fell in love with it again. But from these kids, because I was teaching all the time. The kids said, "Why do you talk funny?" I said, "I'm from Ireland." And this snowballs into performing Irish dancing, to learning Irish language, to performing all over the United States and going to Ireland. Experiences of a lifetime, not only for the children, but for me too. Mm-hmm. And showing the audience out there that, you know, anything is possible with a dream. I mean, all odds were against us. Who would have thought that we would come out of this little public school in the Bronx and travel to Ireland, to the president there, be on the Late Late Show there.
Fantastic.
You know, it's just, it shows anything is
possible. Let me just ask you, since Adrian wouldn't be familiar with the Bronx, but where is it that you, where do you do your training and
coaching? It's actually 181st Street and Bathgate Avenue.
Oh, okay.
So it's interesting because you've got Arthur Avenue, which is a very famous area. You've got St. Barnabas Hospital.
Sure.
And then you've two blocks away, very different area.
Okay.
And it is an area, low socioeconomic activity, a lot of gang activity.
Yeah.
So for an Irish girl to come over, it was very scary.
We're not going to. We got to watch. Keep an eye on the clock. We're not going to ask you to put on your dancing shoes, but I did spot that you've got your whistle here. So I wonder if you can do a quick number for us, and
be? I'll do a very quick number. I'll do a quick Irish tune.
Okay,
so
good deal.
Celebrate the
Carolyn day. Dugan.
Terrific.
Go ahead.
No hard Irish dance shoes. Just the tin whistle now.
Okay. Thank you very much, Carolyn.
Website, Dugan. Website.
Our website is www.thecelticdreams.com with a K. And thank you both very much for having me on again. I'd just also like to thank Adrian. Before the summer, you did a quick interview with me. Follow-up, I got my green card after 9 years of being here. Dream come true. And I tell you what, it was worth the wait.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that.
Well,
thank you for the interview and the
congratulations.
Thank you.
Good to
thank
see you.
You
keep up your good work.
Thank you.
Absolutely, keep up the, and you deserve it.
Oh, I hope so.
Absolutely.
You know, Adrian, I was just thinking, we're sitting here, we're looking at John Liu and these other. Jesus, we're doing very, very well. We've got a lot of beauty around.
Yeah, but you want to know something.
That's happened. I have to leave.
Excuse me, I know you have. Okay, and that's why.
All of a sudden, things start
looking
up.
No, I want to tell you, that's why I've kind of. I knew that sooner or later, at your age, you would have to get up and you would have to make a stop. And that's why. I kept, you know, Breed Ryan, the Cork Rose, as in Rose of Tralee, and and Charlotte O'Brien, who was the is she related to you? Because nepotism runs very strong around here, as we'll find out in a minute. Mark. If you can just, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
She's an old friend of the family, so I'd like to thank her on air, actually, for organizing this for me.
Right.
To be here.
Well, yeah, and also, of course, a very, very close friend forever, Joe Hayes, according to Supremo, you know Joe.
I know Joe, indeed.
Yeah.
And what's the connection, Joe?
Through Charlotte would be...
Charlotte, yeah.
Okay.
No, but Joe Hayes is... Joe Hayes has been around for a long, long time. and he can get the program in Cork. He chooses not to do it, but he can if he wanted to.
Yeah. All right.
Great. Cork Rose, tell us about the process. Tell us where you go from here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, like most roses, I always wanted to be the Cork Rose. It was a dream of mine, so it was my last opportunity last year, because I'm 28 now. So I entered it, and luckily enough, out of 47 girls, I was chosen. And we went to Tralee and had the time of our lives, and I'm here with Dermot Kenny as well, the Mayo Rose. And, you know, I'm very lucky to have met such incredible girls, and to be in New York now for St. Patrick's Day, it's very special. A very lucky girl there.
Dervla Kenny, you're also very welcome.
Thank you
very much. And Rose of Mayo, John.
I heard that, man.
And from Ballyvari. And she also happens to be the niece of the teacher, Ireland's Prime Minister.
Oh, really?
Who
yeah.
was our favorite person and teacher this morning when he was supposed to be here.
Oh.
But he will have an opportunity to redeem himself in the next hour. I know he's buzzing around the town. Oh. But
he asked me to represent him today.
No, let me though ask you, since both of you are here and since, you know, the Rose of Tralee, above all competitions, is kind of throughout the world, the Irish diaspora, mm-hmm. it knows about, you know, the Rose of Tralee.
Yeah.
And in addition to it being like having such a rich cultural history,
yeah.
You get to meet girls, you get to meet from all yeah. over, really.
Absolutely. I think we've both been really privileged to be brought forward to Tralee in August just gone by and to meet girls from all over the world. And, you know, that's testament today as we march in the St. Patrick's Day Parade down Fifth Avenue here in New York with girls from all over the world. There's
right.
25 of us here, girls from Washington, Boston, Kentucky, all over
yeah.
the States and all over Ireland and all over Europe. And we're lucky enough to have our Luxembourg Rose, who was the Rose of Tralee, Nicola, here with us today to lead us all on the parade.
Well, let me ask you, Adrian, may I ask, all of you are going to be gathered at some location?
Yeah, we're all marching.
Could I get that address, if
Absolutely,
you don't mind?
Yeah.
What might that be?
Well, I'll give you my number afterwards and we'll let you know.
Well, indeed you won't.
Yeah.
You won't. I won't have you giving... And then you go back to Charlotte.
I had some earlier plans. Oh. I've just cancelled.
But watch out for us today. We're marching with the Kerry Association.
Oh, you're dynamite.
You'll see us all there. We'll be led by Nicola with her big crown, and we'll all be there. So we'll give you all a wave.
Well, I'll tell you, you won't have to wave because I'll just join you.
And
you'll never lose me.
Well, on that note, we are looking for escorts for the 2013 Rose of Tralee. So if you wish to apply,
are you serious? Where would that take place?
Yeah.
In Ireland, in County Kerry.
No, you have to explain
that
because most people would not believe here about how the roses, and again, there can be how many representatives?
There's 32 in Tralee each year. But there's 60 centres across the world, from Australia, all over Europe and all across America, Canada. So we're really lucky. And it does connect the global Irish community. And, you know, we have found friends really for life through being roses.
But would you explain to us, like, the process for selecting an escort? Could you believe?
Yeah, please, yes.
Well, I believe it's really rather grueling, but I've no doubt you'd be perfect for it.
Are you serious? Thank you so much.
Imagine,
go no further.
You know,
Thank you
need there's one gentleman for each of the ladies down there.
Yes.
They need to escort us all week, and you know it's military precision and
They
need to be prepared for all situations.
Have to be like a singer or anything.
No, they have to have party feet, hair clips, deodorant, perfume, lip gloss. They need to be able to
pull thread. Well, that'd be for me. Now, what about for the girls?
Hold on a second. I have a nephew of mine whose name is Vincent.
Is he tall and handsome?
No, he's married.
Oh.
And he still to this day has not told the wife that he was an escort.
Oh, she knows now.
No, she doesn't. No, nobody. I mean, this is a very, very distinguished audience,
yeah.
And they don't go back with stories like that. No, it's great. When is the... Is there a final? Is there a semi-final?
We've already been, actually. Yeah. So the Rose of Tralee is Nicola McAvoy, who is representing Luxembourg. So the 2012 Rose of Tralee is Nicola. She's here in New York for the next few days, but she couldn't be here today. So the next Rose, the 2013 Rose, will be crowned in August in Tralee.
Which is great.
Yeah, so we don't know who that is yet.
Fabulous.
We'll be there, though, and we're inviting everybody to come and join us, too, as part of the gathering. So we'd love
website.
To
It's www.roseoftralee.ie if anyone wants to check out more information for roses or for escorts, or just to find out a little bit more about the festival, because if you're not eligible for a rose or escort, it's a great way to come to visit Ireland. There's a great festival for a week in Tralee and across Kerry, but even across Ireland. You can fly into Dublin or Knock Airport in the west of Ireland, County Mayo, and come down to see all the lovely sights of Ireland along the west coast.
Right, you know, John, in disguise, this is a non-political plug from the niece of Leticia.
If you're not in politics, you should be. I hate to do this, if I may, for all.